Good afternoon, Your Honors. Matt Warzen for Andrew Miller. This is a child pornography case arising out of the Southern District of Illinois. The question we present to the court is this: whether or not in a child pornography case the government may, on cross-examination, accuse the defendant of molesting his minor granddaughters.
Well, if he testifies that he has no sexual interest in minors, then evidence that he molests them is obviously undermines his testimony. Well, so what's wrong with that?
Well, Your Honor, there are two things wrong with it. First of all, let's say that the government did have evidence that
of course
he
had evidence.
It had no evidence, Your Honor. There is no evidence on this record that Andrew Miller molests his granddaughters. There's absolutely none.
Well, it depends, I suppose, on definition of molestation. There is evidence that he has a sexual interest in minors.
But that's not the point, Your Honor. There's no.
What is the point? Because he said he had no sexual interest in child pornography, and therefore it was just an accident that he occasionally downloaded it.
But if there's no evidence that he molests his minor
granddaughter. Not molest. That's my mistake. I shouldn't say that. Does he have a... Look, most men are not in... Well, I don't know. Most, but... He said he's not interested in child pornography. He just likes adult pornography. On the other hand, if he has a sexual interest in minors, that doesn't absolutely contradict, but it does undermine the suggestion that he has no interest in child pornography.
The point is the charge was child pornography. The disputed evidence that came in is child molestation. There are two things wrong there. He was not charged with molesting his minor granddaughter.
That is not the point. You don't understand the point. This is not what he's charged with. It's whether this has any relevance to his testimony. You can have uncharged conduct that's relevant because it undermines the defendant's testimony.
Your Honor, we're arguing that the error was in not excluding this evidence under Rule 403. So it doesn't go to relevance. It goes to probative value. There is no probative value here because he was not charged with molesting with physically hands-on.
He doesn't have to be charged. I mean, that's the whole point of prior crime or other crime evidence. You're not charged with it. You're being questioned about it because it's germane to what you are being charged with. So the likelihood that he downloaded this child pornography by accident is diminished if it turns out he has a sexual interest in children.
We'll respectfully disagree on this point and then move to... If there's no evidence that he physically molests his own.
You're totally missing the point. Child pornography is not about molestation. It's about having a sexual interest in children. And if you deny that you have a sexual interest in children and say, therefore, any child pornography I downloaded was done by accident, then evidence that you do have a sexual interest in children is germane, right?
No, I respectfully disagree, and we're just going to keep going round and round.
All right, then. Do you have anything else to say?
Yes, I believe that Andrew Miller was convicted because this jury believed that he molests his minor granddaughters and not on the crimes charged, child pornography, and for that reason, we request a new trial.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Warzen. Mr. Leggins?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Tom Leggins, and I represent the United States in this appeal. To address the counsel's argument that we had no evidence, which I guess is a foundation-type argument, we had no foundation for the question or no evidence to back up the question that was asked of the defendant in this case. I would just note for the court that this matter was the subject of, I believe, either two motions in limine or cross motions in limine. So certainly, and the defense did not take the position before the court that we had no foundation for this question. They were taking the position that we shouldn't be able to prove it. There was adequate foundation for the question that was asked at the time of the search warrant of the defendant's residence. His wife told the investigators that we don't allow the defendant around the grandchildren. He's no longer allowed to bathe the grandchildren, and basically that his own family thought he showed a disquieting interest in young children. So there was a foundation for this. The defense never made the lack of a foundation an issue before the court because, frankly, that would have been a ridiculous argument.
What about 403 analysis?
I think in this, initially, this issue was resolved by the district court saying we're going to exclude it.
Right.
However, if the defendant opens the door to it, then we'll take that matter up later. Or I believe we took the position that it's going to be almost impossible for the defendant to put on any kind of the, for lack of a better word, traditional child pornography defenses without opening the door to this. But we'll see what happens. Then the defendant testified that he had no sexual interest in children. He also testified that the presence of the child pornography on his computer was a mistake. He didn't intend to, again, invoking the traditional 404B type matters that are admissible. And I would just submit that any time you're engaging in an opening the door analysis, you're necessarily doing a relevancy 403 analysis. You have to be. Because if the judge has already said, we're not going to let this in because it's not relevant yet.
So you're saying by implication the judge complied? Because you agree there was no specific finding on the record at the time. I agree there was a lot done prior to.
Yes, Judge.
And, you know, as it related to, say, the molestation versus viewing them in the, you know, bathroom and that kind of thing. There was no distinction made by the trial judge at that point.
It was clear that what we were doing was we asked for a sidebar for a ruling on the opening the door analysis. Now, the judge didn't say 403. Defense counsel didn't say 403. And that's, I mean, really, in that setting.
You know, your position is it wasn't necessary.
It wasn't necessary. That's what your relevance is, what your, and prejudice is what you're always fighting over in a curative admissibility or opening the door type setting. So the and if you know the judge didn't bring up 403 explicitly, and as I point out in our brief, neither did the defendant. It was just there was a 403 type discussion at sidebar, or a relevance discussion at sidebar, but the words 403 were not invoked. And I guess the final point I'd have to make is that it's important to note we just asked the question. There was a foundation for the question. We did not prove it up. We made a strategic decision that we were not going to prove it up. We would ask the question. We would live with the answer, and that's what we've done. And we didn't argue in closing. We did not try to put on extrinsic proof of it. The defendant denied it. We had evidence at our disposal that we thought could have countered that. It would have involved putting family members on the stand. We decided not to. We also decided it would undermine any kind of harmless error argument, frankly, in this court, to go ahead and put on this type of evidence, so we didn't. And if there are no further questions, I will yield the rest of my time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Legan. Mr. Warshin, how much time does he have? Do you have a minute left? Anything further?
I would just urge the court to look at the Lowry case just decided a couple months ago, where under Rule 403, it was held that evidence of hardcore child pornography should not come in on a child pornography case because, among other things, the hardcore child pornography was not charged. Among other things, the hardcore child pornography was unlike the pornography, the child pornography, on which the defendant was charged. Without questions,
Thank you. And Mr. Worsen, you were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
And we thank you for your efforts on behalf of the client. And we thank Mr. Leggins as well.